The good news. This message is about the good news. In fact, it's the best news ever. Isn't there a song out nowadays, something like that? It's good news. It's not just good news. It's the best news ever. In fact, the word gospel means, aren't you impressed? I got smiley faces on there. And even when it got transferred to the other computer, it stayed on there. The word gospel in Greek, it's euangelion. It literally means good news. We have good news. You know, if we had the antidote to all cancer, would that be good news? It'd be amazing news. We have even better news than that. We have the antidote to death.
Yeah.
To death, period.
Woo.
We have the antidote to death because Jesus died in our place so that we would live forever. Remember, he said to Lazarus, even though you die, you're going to live forever. He gave us the antidote to death. We have that. And are we going to hold on to it and not share with anyone else? Man, that would be terrible, wouldn't it? I mean, now this is how my crazy mind works. I just imagine that some friend of mine is going to be standing at the great white throne of judgment and say, hey, Jeff, why didn't you tell me about this? Ouch. What kind of friend were you, dude? Ouch. Amen? What if my neighbors, hey, why didn't you tell me about this stuff? Ouch. I don't want that for any of us. I want us to share the good news, not hitting people over the... When I was younger, I used to hit people over the head with a Bible. I had a bigger Bible than this I carried to school. Whack. You know, you need to pray to your seat. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in a relaxed, friendly setting, non-confrontational. If the Lord leads you to be confrontational, be there. If he leads you to power evangelism, hunting with a friend and you got a gun in your hand, do it. Okay, that's called power evangelism. But I'm just telling you, most of it should just be relaxed every day. And that's what we're going to do. Like, we're going to pretend we're at a table somewhere and talking. And that's what we're going to try and role model for you. What is the good news? Here's the good news. I'm going to look at it from two perspectives. 1 Peter 2:10 says, once you were not a people. Once we were not a people. Once we were not a people. But now you are the people of God. Once we were nobodies. Anyone here a nobody?
Yeah.
I'm a nobody. But you know what? Now I'm a part of family of God. Once I was Joe Nobody. Anyone watch that movie, Joe Nobody? It's a funny movie with Tim somebody. Anyway, so once you were nobody, now we're the people of God. We're somebody now. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. There was a point in time where we were lost. And we were on a crisis eternal, on our way to death and eternal separation from God. Now we receive his mercy. That's the good news that we have. Jesus paid our sin debt. Jesus paid our sin debt. I mean, that is just so huge. You guys don't look very happy this morning. You need to smile more, I'm telling you. Jesus paid our sin debt. Here's what Romans 6:23 says. And this is actually the main verse that I'm going to use with Dorsey. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. And I said through, that's, I think that's KJV. It says in Christ our Lord, this is NIV. I'm telling you, most people, they're afraid to witness because they don't know enough scripture. Someone might ask something. I'm telling you, you can share the gospel with one verse. This verse has it all. This verse has it all. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And by the way, inside your worship folder is, I'm going to use a bridge illustration. So everyone has one of these. If you don't, if you need one of these, put it in your purse, put it in your wallet, put it in your pocket. Take it with you. You can use one of these. I've led many people to the Lord using either four spiritual laws, steps of people, this God, this, any of them will work. Any of them will work because it's not you doing it, it's the Holy Spirit flowing through you. It's the Holy Spirit flowing through you. But I'm going to use this one today with Dorsey. I'm going to use it on Dorsey. But I'm going to use this verse. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the whole thing. I was lost in sin, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of glory of God. Now, anyone here that's married, just look at your spouse and say, babe, you're perfect. You're smiling. I don't see anyone saying that. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Here's what Romans 5:12 says. And at one point, I used to blame Adam and Eve all the time. I just said, blame them. Blame. What were you thinking? What were you thinking, Adam and Eve? I don't know about you. They're one of the first people I wanted to meet in heaven. What were you guys thinking? Come on. Fess up. What in the world were you thinking? Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man. What was the one man where sin entered into through? Adam. What were you thinking, dude? I don't know how many times my dad asked me that question. What were you thinking? And you know what my answer was? I don't know. I wasn't. I don't know. And death through sin, in that way, death came to all men. That just doesn't sound fair, does it? I never just think that sounds fair. So he, Chucklehead, does that, and it all comes on me. But the verse doesn't end there. The verse ends with this, because all sinned. Because every one of us have sinned. Not only did he do it, but every one of us missed the mark. And by the way, sin. You've heard me talk about sin before. One guy came to me one time, and he said, Jeff, have you ever thought about how many times you sin in a day? Remember this story? I just couldn't believe it. It just hit me so hard. He said, I'll give you 10 sins a day. No, I'll give you 5. No, I'll give you 3 sins a day. Now, before I start this, rascal, let's define sin. Sin is actually doing something wrong. You know, if you lie, cheat, steal, run a red light, that's sin. By the way, what's 1 mile over the limit? Anyone here not sinned on the way to church? I can't claim that. And when you stop, it's like 3 seconds. Miss sip one, miss sip two, 1, 2, 3. You're supposed to laugh at that. Oh, well. So here we are. 3 sins a day. So, and then the other sin is not doing the right thing. You know, I made every parent feel good about themselves because I lost my kids at the rim of the Grand Canyon at night. Anyone ever done that? See, I made everyone feel better, like they're a good parent compared to me. So if I'm at the Grand Canyon and I see someone's about to slide over and I just say, hasta la vista, buddy, that would be a sin of omission. No, I need to reach out and pull that person. I need to reach out and grab that person. So sin is doing the wrong thing. Sin is thinking the wrong thing. Jesus said, if you look at someone and you lust at them, you've committed sin and adultery in your heart already. And then to not do the right thing is sin. So this guy, he says, so Jeff, I'm going to give you 3 sins a day. I'm going to knock it down from 10, 5 to 3, just 3 sins a day. That means from the time you get up in the morning till lunchtime, you got 1 sin. That includes speeding. That includes everything. 1 sin. And that's dealing with people through the morning. Dealing with people. 1 sin. The last church I was at, aren't our flowers beautiful? Aren't they beautiful? Last church I was at, this lady called me on, I think it was a Monday morning, and she got on the flowers. But wah, 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 wah. Like they were the wrong flowers for this time of year. And I just listened. These are beautiful, amen? Hey, can we say thank you to the ladies that did the flowers? This lady went spazzo. I mean, I almost said, lady, you need to get a life. Flowers, come on. Oh, wow, there's even a little, there's something in here. Cool. Wow, I didn't even notice that before. Woodchuck or something. It must be spring. That must be, no, it's not Punksy Phil. It's Freddy something, right? Yeah, French Creek Freddy. Sorry about that. ADD. Ah. So, man, I totally lost track. She's yelling about the flowers. Thank you. She's yelling about the flowers. People, you got to deal with people. So, in the morning, 1 sin from morning to lunchtime. That means dealing with people. People calling and saying how the flowers are so horrible and this and that and the other. I was kind. I listened when I hang up the phone. I'm like, get a life. But, you know, I just sinned against her. Instead of praying for her, I was like, you are crazy, woman. Okay, so then you got 1 sin all morning. Then from noon until supper, that means dealing with people all afternoon and driving home from work. You got 1 more sin. Okay? And then from dinner time until bedtime, that means if you got kids, dealing with kids, TV, all that stuff. One more sin. Three sins a day. Can we agree that if you only sin three times a day, you're practically a walking saint? And that's just what he said. But he said, you know, Jeff, let's look at it this way. At three sins a day, that's over 1,000 sins in a year. He said, how old are you? So you guys know I just turned 60, so we won't count the first, say, 10 years of my life, so 50 years old. How many sins have I got? 50,000, if only three a day. Now let's make it real. I confessed to you guys 18 months ago, 2 years ago, that I was passing through a town south of here, and I had my cruise control set, and I saw this bubblegum light go on, and I'm like, I wonder what he's doing. And then he let me know what he was doing. He was writing me a ticket because I had the cruise control set on 65 and it was 50. When he told me that, I'm like, I'm guilty. I had it set on 65. When did it turn 50? Well, back a ways. You missed the sign. Well, I'm guilty. What's your occupation? I'm a pastor. Pastors aren't supposed to speed. I'm guilty. And there was no mercy in that, okay? I confessed my guilt. So let's pay, and he said, if I paid it right away, the next morning here at the church, I wrote a check out. No, actually, I called the number and paid online right away. Because he said, if you pay online right away, you won't have any points. Well, guess what? I got 2 points. So it didn't work. But let's say I protested it, and I went before a judge, and I almost have him convinced that I'm a good guy. And then he says, do you have any priors? And then there's this file folder with 50,000 priors in it. What should a good judge do? Lock you up. Thanks for that vote of confidence in my driving. Lock me up. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the God of the universe. At only 3 sins a day. How dare we think that we're without sin? No one is without sin. But still, we have good news. We have good news. We have good news. Yeah. And what's the good news? Isaiah 53:6, it's in both Old and New Testament. All we like sheep have gone astray. By the way, every time Scripture says you're a sheep, it is not a compliment. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are stupid. They, you know, if someone attacks them, they just turn around and bah. I mean, it is pitiful. They are pitiful animals. Excuse me if any of you had them, but my grandmom raised some, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. On a hot day, they see mud, they go roll in the mud, and then they're stuck and can't get out. It is not a compliment to be called a sheep. But we are all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. And my grandmom's sheep were constantly going all over. They would see a thicket and thinking they get in shade and they get stuck in that thicket and couldn't get out. I mean, it was just, they were useless in my mind. But here's the good news. All we like sheep have gone astray. The Lord has laid on him, on Jesus Christ, all of my sin, all of my iniquity. All we like sheep have gone astray. And the good news is the Lord laid on Jesus all of that sin. On that cross, not this cross, but on the cross, Jesus bore all of my sin, all of your sin. And that's the great news that we have. It is the great news. And that news is in both the Old and New Testament. All the way back in Genesis to Revelation, it announces the good news that Jesus bore our sin debt so that we could have intimacy with God. Declaring the good news. Both Old and New Testament declare the good news. There's a lot of helpful tools. You know, when I was younger, we didn't have a whole bunch. And I primarily used the Romans Road. Anyone ever heard of the Romans Road? Romans Road of Salvation. Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5, 8, 10, 9, and 10. And then you throw in Revelation 3:20. And again, it's the Romans Road. It progressive. It teaches you about what Jesus did, that you're a sinner, that Christ died for us and that you can believe and confess with your mouth and that God is knocking at your door. There's all kinds. So I used the Roman road for years. And then I used the four spiritual laws. Anyone ever use four spiritual laws? These are just different tools. You have a booklet that's called The Bridge to Life. This is they're just like this. You can get them in little ones. They're just like little tracks like that. Another one is called Steps to Peace with God, which is four spiritual laws that's done a little bit different. Another one is called The Wordless Book. And someone in our congregation gave me a wordless arrow. See the different colors on it? The wordless arrow, so that you can use this to share the good news with someone else. You can use the bridge illustration, which is what this is. Evangelism explosion is a whole nother one. You know, there's 5 points to evangelism explosion. I've used that to lead people to the Lord. The core of the gospel, here's the core of the gospel. Admit you're a sinner. Admit you're a sinner and repent. And all repentance is, I'm going my way, I'm doing it my way, I'm doing what I want to do. Repentance is turning from that, turning to Jesus. Turning from sin and I'm turning to Jesus. I'm putting all my trust in Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus. Believe that Jesus is who he said he was. And then confess Jesus is Lord. See, when I'm doing my own thing, who's the Lord of my life when I'm doing my own thing? I am. Confession of Jesus is Lord means I'm not only turning from sin, I'm asking Jesus to become my Lord, and I'm confessing it to everyone else that Jesus is my Lord. When I was 9 years old, I was all the way back there in my home church. It was Friday night. The evangelist, he'd been preaching all week. I was so under conviction. As soon as he opened the altar, I came up. I don't know why I came up. I came up to this side, the prayer rail. I prayed, received Jesus Christ. Then he had us turn around and confess to the whole congregation. I'm a sinner, and I prayed to receive Jesus Christ tonight. And then he invited the whole church up to come and pray for us. There were two or three of us there. And best decision I've ever made. Second best decision was to marry my soulmate. Actually, to begin to convince her to marry me. It took 8 years, but persistence pays off. Amen? Persistence pays off. Okay, we're going to do a skit. And Dorsey, if you can come up. And Dorsey, you can sit on either side. Now, what I'm going to do is the bridge illustration, and we're just going to do it in a few moments, okay? And now I'm going to stop this, and I'm going to ask the guys to just kind of follow along. But you can share the gospel in 3 minutes, in 30 minutes. You can share it in 30 seconds or whatever. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. So Dorsey pretty regularly, I've got my mic. I'm going to give Dorsey a mic. Not that he'll probably need one because I'll probably do all the talking for him. Good. Dorsey's so outgoing and I knew that he would. If I'm not careful, he'll take over the whole thing. So, now Dorsey regularly asks me, Jeff, how you doing? How you doing with the death of your wife, Lynette? That's a perfect opportunity, Dor. Now, I'm going to talk to you guys. This is coaching, okay? I'm going to coach through this. So Dorsey regularly asks me that kind of stuff. And what a great opportunity. You know, Dorsey, can I tell you what's helping me through this? May I share with you what God is doing in my life through this? So many people over the years, I rarely ever just hit someone with the gospel. Almost every time someone asks me a question. So how do you have all this peace? I still remember this guy that was 80-some years old, played basketball 3 times a week, 1 foot in the grave and 1 on a banana peel. And he was playing basketball 3 times a week. You know, he came up to me and he said, Jeff, I've heard your wife has cancer. How in the world do you have peace? I see you playing basketball, I see you all around town, and you've got this joy. What is it? Man, is that an open door or what? But I could have said, oh, that's nothing. That's gold. That's a wide open door. So Dorsey regularly asks me, so Jeff, how you doing? So I always ask permission. Can I share with you why I'm making it through this okay?
Sure.
Ask. That's another principle. Ask. When you're about to share the gospel, ask, is it okay? Is it okay for me to share with you what's going on in my life? Are you okay with me getting up and down? This is not a normal skit, okay? Obvious, huh? Dorsey is so confused now. Okay, now we're going to go into the bridge. So I always ask permission because someone might get really upset. I've had people get so upset. I had one guy in the hospital. He turned beet red. He was in the hospital for cardiac arrest. Man, his veins started popping out and he got all mad. I said, well, I did ask, man. You asked for the truth. I told you the truth. The amazing thing in that story was he was so angry at me. He was so angry at me. I just told him the truth of the gospel, that you need to love God more than anything else. That's not in the Bible. Well, I took my Bible out and opened it up and I read it to him, Luke. Man, he got ticked. I said, dude, I didn't come here to cause you pain or to give you more cardiac arrest. Can I pray with you? And I'm going to leave. I got home. His son-in-law called me. What did you say to my father today? I'm like, oh no, I bet the old guy died. Well, actually, I just told him that you got to love God more than anything else in your life. I said, wow, because my dad is demanding that you come back tomorrow. I was stunned. I thought, and if this was an elder in the church, I thought he was going to say, you're fired, man. You're just done. My dad wants to see you again. I went back in and I shared the rest of the gospel with him. And he got all red again. I'm just going to pray for you and I'm going to leave. 2 weeks later, he got out of the hospital. He came to church, okay? We had greeting time in that church, you know, where you got up and milled around it, all this stuff. During greeting time, he walked right up to me and said, preacher, will you preach my funeral? I said, like, right now? Sharing the gospel is fun. I'm telling you, it can be fun. It's intimidating, it's scary, but it can be so much fun. And there is nothing greater than you sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and then praying to receive him. There's nothing greater in all the world. Is there an amen to that? Anyone here led someone to the Lord? And it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit flowing through us. There's nothing greater than the world. So I told him, you know, after, now? No. I said, well, you come tomorrow morning. Because this guy came from a very liberal church and didn't preach the gospel. And I knew that. And he met with me the next day and I said, there's one way that I will preach your funeral. That if you pray to receive Jesus Christ right now and you want me to tell everyone at your funeral what you just did. He said, preacher, why do you think I'm here? Okay. I let him in the, went through the gospel again, let him in the sinner's prayer, prayer to receive Christ. And then he said, now you promised at my funeral, you will tell everyone what just happened so that they hear the gospel. It's a deal, dude. And he lived for about another year and I did do his funeral. So may I always ask permission, may I share with you, because you never know, someone gets mad. And if they totally fly off the handle, hey, I asked. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you, but I asked permission. Do you see what sense that makes? Ask permission, always ask permission. Now, I'm going to draw something here, and so you guys, can anyone, let me do it so I'm not a liar. Did I draw that, Dorsey?
Yes, you did.
There it is. Is there anyone here that cannot draw that? Look how perfect those lines are. I drew that one too. If you can draw those two lines, you can share the gospel. I know I'm staying in character real well, aren't I? If you can draw those two lines, you can share the bridge illustration because that is the bridge illustration right there. And then the next thing you do, you know, Dorsey, I'm sharing with you why I have so much hope and so much peace in my life. And next slide. And this represents life. And here's humanity. And here's God. And there's a huge gulf in between us. Scripture tells us that there is a big gap between us. In fact, Scripture says, for all have sinned. And I would write that out. I'm not going to write it out now. But it's up there. For all have sinned. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. And you're old enough. Remember Evel Knievel? Mm-hmm. Evel Knievel. Anyone here know who Evel Knievel is? He was one of my heroes growing up. Isn't that sad? When I was 10 years old on my dad's 650 Bonneville TT Special, I was going over ramps, 18 feet at 10 years old. I'm no Evel Knievel, but I competed with him at 10 years old. So here's Evel Knievel. Remember, I mean, it was so disappointing. He's going to jump the Grand Canyon, Snake River and all that. And, you know, it's a rocket. It's not even a motorcycle. Did anyone see it? Did he make it across? No. You see, there's this big gulf. Dorsey, there's a big gulf between humanity and man and its sin. And they try all, we try all these different things, good works, to be a good person, to be a good husband. But every time we fall short because of sin. None of us can make it across. We all fall short. Even Evel Knievel couldn't make it all the way across. Jetpack and all, he couldn't make it all the way across. And I don't care how good you try, you still have three sins a day problem. And you fall short. And that's what happens. We all fall short. But then the good news is, for the wage of sin is death. And you guys have heard me talking about just one sin. If God is an eternal being that's everywhere, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, we commit one sin here, say it, do it, whatever, through all eternity, that sin is going through space and time. And if God is at every single place in space and time, it is eternally before the face of God. Isn't that an encouraging thought? Isn't that an encouraging thought? One sin eternally before the face of God. He sees it through all time. The last time you got upset, the last time you ran a red light, the last time you whatevered, the last time you were a snot-nosed teen. You remember those days? Those of us who are older and those, some of us are closer to that than others. Bad attitude. All of that eternally before a holy God. That's why the wages of one sin is death. It's eternally before him. But the good news is Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus died. And the good news is it's called atonement. It means our sins are covered over. They're covered over. They're no longer before the face of God. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are remembered no more. They're gone. They're covered over. Is that good news? Man, that is great news. And then beyond that, God is no longer angry. I grew up in the church all my life. I'm 60 years old in a couple weeks or something like that. So I've been in the church 60 years and 9 months. Everyone got that? I heard sermons in vitro. Is that the right term? In utero, thank you. In utero, thank you. I've heard them all my life. And in all honesty, I thought that God was angry. Most of my life, I thought he was ticked off. Because you know what? I'm a sinner. But once I prayed to receive Jesus Christ, not only are my sins covered over, God's wrath was appeased. God poured all of his wrath out. You listening to me, Dorsey? This is for you, dude. I haven't forgot you up here, dude. Isn't he a good guy? Isn't he a good guy? Oh, Jeff, you're crazy, man. So all of God's wrath was poured out on Jesus so that he's no longer angry with me and my sins are totally covered over. Is that good news? Man, we don't have good news. We have great news to tell the world. We have the antidote to death. The antidote to death. Because even though, and I know where my Lynette is. Everyone knows my Lynette passed away about the 26th of this month will be a year and 6 months. But I know where she is. I know that I know that I know that Jesus walked her through the valley of the shadow of death and she's with God right now. In fact, she's declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to be. She's with that 420 elders praising God. And then they're saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Man, if I'm sad, I'm sad because I miss her. I'm not sad because of where she is. Because I know where she is. Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, I know where my precious soulmate is. And I can rejoice over that. And then the final thing to ask Dorsey is, next slide. On this image, you know, and I didn't draw the cross in here, but here's the cross. Jesus died and paid my sin debt, and there is no more death. And now the next question is, where are you? So you've got all of this, and you've got knowing God. And then I'll just ask the person, are you here? Are you here? Are you right here? And I didn't put X's on there. But you know, some people are just, I've met some people, gee, I just have a question or two. Really? What's your question? Well, what happens to all the innocent people? Well, let's talk about innocent people. Now, if they ask three or four of those, I will say, now, if I answer your next question, will you be ready to pray to receive Jesus? Because they'll take you to Robin Hood's barn and keep changing the rules, changing the rules. Where are you? Where are you in this process? Are you ready to receive Jesus? Or are you way, way, how does that look? Are you way, 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 way over here just trying to learn things? And it's okay to be there, but where are you? Or are you right over here and you really want to pray to receive Jesus Christ, but you're not sure? So where are you, dude?
Right on the edge.
He's right on the edge. So, and then I would say, Scripture says, to those who receive Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. He who has the Son has life. He who did not have the Son of God does not have life. And I would, Dorsey, all you need to do is say, Jesus, please forgive me. A, B, C, admit you're a sinner, believe in Jesus, confess Jesus is Lord, and I would just walk him through that. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Now, I took 10 minutes going in and out of character, mainly out of character. But I can tell you, you can draw that thing, and you can take 3 minutes, you can take 10 minutes, you can take 30 minutes. You can add your personal testimony to it. Did we work on our testimony a couple weeks ago? You can add your testimony to it. Here's how I came to know Jesus. And share that with the person. Dorsey, thank you very much. Can we give Dorsey a hand? Encore. Now back to the sermon. Thank you, Dorsey. Thank you for being a willing participant. What's the number one reason why people don't share the gospel?
Scared.
Terrified, fear. Terrified, I'm terrified, I won't know enough. It might destroy our relationship. That's why you say, only under the leading of the Holy Spirit, only under the leading of the Holy Spirit, and you say, can I share with you what I know about God? Can I share with you my testimony? And then there is always this. Man, Doug, that's a great question. I've never heard that before. I'll look into it and I'll get back to you, dude. If you're terrified someone's going to ask this huge question, there you go. Great question. Man, I've never thought of that. Let me get back to you. Any other questions? Because it's not me. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit flowing through us. They're seeing Christ in us. And be drawn to him. This is a lifesaver. It's a lifesaver. I'm telling you. That's a good question, man. I've never heard that before. I've never even thought about that. Let me write that down. Let me get back to you. What do you think about this guy? I'm back in there. You go back. So what do you think about this? Well, I really need to know the answer to that question first. Okay, I'll look it up. I'll talk to the pastor. I'll talk to an elder. I'll find the answer for you. And if I know him really well, if I can't find it, I'll make one up for you. The real question is, who do you know that needs some good news? Who do you know that needs some good news? And now we're going to, it's only 10 after. I inserted this, because last time I did this, someone said, listen to who? We're just going to have some listening time. If you're new and you're a visitor here, just relax. All this means is we're going to spend a couple moments in silence and just listen. And I believe that for some of us, God's going to nudge us and going to put someone's name, impress, you know, we're going to either see their face, hear their name, or something that needs the good news. That's all we're going to do, just a moment of silence. If you're visiting here and you start snoring, your partner will just nudge you a little bit to wake you up. It's okay to snore in church, okay? It's okay. It's all okay. All right? We're just going to take a moment or two and have silent time. I know I'm prattling on. Take a moment or two of silent time. Just ask the Lord to come and reveal who is it that needs this good news? Who needs to know about Jesus? Okay? I'm going to lead in short prayer and then some silence. Time to just listen to God. Dear Father in heaven, you've promised the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, you are here with us as well. I believe that there are people lost in each of our lives, and by lost is they don't know where they're going to spend eternity. They don't know about Jesus. Dear Father in heaven, Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit, I ask that in this moment or two of listening time, of silence, that if there is someone that you desire us to speak to, that you would reveal it. You'd either bring their image to our mind, their name, whatever it might be. And I know that you may do it right now, you may do it later today, you may do it tomorrow. It's in your time. But we just take a moment or two of silence to listen. To be still before you. And by the way, moms, if you've got a kid that won't sit still or cries, it's all okay. It's all okay. So, Father, we just quiet our hearts before you. Listening time, just to listen to you.